Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, we're going to have a handout. If you didn't get one, you can raise your hand. I'll have someone bring you one if you need one. We've got a hand up here, Brother Dallas. While we're reading on that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at three different passages real quick or read three passages and then get into the message. Dallas, up here. Up here and over here. I want you to look at Matthew 10, verse 37 through 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then one other passage in chapter 14 of Luke. In verse 25, Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and he was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Tonight I'm going to be preaching on the disciples' priority. The disciples' number one priority. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for giving us this time that we can go to your word, praying for your Holy Spirit to help me, Lord, and be able to preach what you laid on my heart to preach. And I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and help us to glean from your word tonight what you'd have us to be. And how you'd have us to live our lives. And Father, that we can grow and become disciples that would honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin a series tonight called Take Up Your Cross. Take Up Your Cross. And tonight, as we're looking at the disciples' number one priority, you know, there was a book that was written more than a half a century ago by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a brilliant book, but it's a very uncomfortable book. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. And I believe it was published somewhere around 1948. Bonhoeffer was one of the few German pastors that stood up against Hitler's godless rise to power. And he paid for it with his own life. You know, the book's title reminds us that there's a cost involved in following Jesus. There's a cost involved in being a disciple of Jesus. Our text tonight, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, I want you to Note that verse again. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. If any man would come after him, if any man would follow him, you have to deny yourself, take up the cross or his cross daily and follow me. So this is our series text here tonight. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. You know, when I was went away to college back in 1985, you know, I was a Christian that was raised in church, attended church every Sunday. And when I went off to college away from the influence of home and church, I found out who I really was. I came to face to face who I was. And I knew I was a born-again child of God, but I was faced with a decision. Am I going to live my life for Christ, or am I going to live for myself? You know, that's the decision that a lot of young people have to face when they start out on their own. And I had to wonder if I'm going to pursue my goals for my life or God's will for my life. It took me a couple years to come to answer those questions in my life. You know, I tried for a while to ride the fence. I tried to live for myself, do what I wanted to do, and on the other hand, trying to be an occasional Sunday churchgoer. But the truth is, it didn't work. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, I'm going to have them put that on the board, I put it up there wrong, but it should be 624. But anyway, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, we can't ride the fence. We can't serve self and God. We can't serve the world and God. We can't serve wealth and God. We've got to make a decision whom we're going to serve. You know, I came to a crossroads in January 1988, and I realized that I could either live my life as a real disciple of Jesus, or I could just be a mediocre Christian the rest of my life. I finally decided that I wanted to be a disciple. I wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted to take up my cross. I wanted to deny myself. You know, I remember that I gave up all my ambitions, all my dreams, and laid them down at the foot of the cross and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? My life is yours. Here am I. And I tell you, the Lord changed my life at that time. My life's never been the same since. And I have to honestly say, though, that since that time, my heart has not always been right with God. The Holy Spirit, however, has been faithful to always reveal to me when it's not right. And I'm thankful that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we confess those sins. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and shows us and points out our error, we are to be quick to get it right. You know, if we're going to follow Jesus, that's what we're going to do. But you know, I believe I'm only serving God today because of His faithfulness. God is faithful. But on the other hand, I have endeavored to keep that commitment I made to the Lord years and years ago to put Jesus first and follow Him. And you know, tonight is this first message. We're going to look at the disciples' number one priority. Let me ask you tonight, what's your number one priority in life? What is your number one priority? And when we say priority, we usually mean the important thing. What's the important thing in your life at this moment tonight? What is the main thing? I mean, just be honest. I don't want you to answer out loud. Just be honest as you let the Lord speak to your heart. What is the main thing in your life? What is the important thing? Is it your family? Is it your career? Is it your hobby? What is it that you value the most in life? You know, the word priority, it's a form of the word prior. And we know that the word prior means before or ahead of or preceding. And so a priority is something that comes before everything else, that precedes everything else. It's ahead of everything else. It's what is supreme. It's what is essential, what is foundational. It's what is preeminent. That's what we mean when we're talking about priority tonight. What is your number one priority? What is the main thing? What is the preeminent thing in your life? You know, I don't know if you've ever heard the story or testimony of evangelist D.L. Moody. But early in his Christian life, he heard one of his best friends, Henry Varley, put his quote on the board there. Here's what his friend said. "It remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to Him." You know what? In response to that, Moody said, "I will be that man. I will be that man." And if there was anyone who ever gave himself up wholly to God, it was D.L. Moody. Here's a man that had a third grade education, and he led thousands of people to Christ, not only here in America, but in England. God used his life in such a mighty way. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. We'll also put it on the board there. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." I want you to think about this verse. The eyes of the Lord's running to and fro throughout the earth, even now. He's looking to show himself strong, show himself mighty, show himself powerful in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What does that mean? Perfect here, the Hebrew word means to be whole or complete. He's talking about someone whose heart is whole. In other words, wholehearted. You know, we talked this morning about what Jesus said the great commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's what he's talking about here, wholehearted. Someone whose heart is wholly devoted to him. You know, God's just looking to use someone that's wholeheartedly devoted to him. Just think about how much God could use us tonight if we'd just be wholehearted. I mean, sometimes people give up on God. Sometimes people just, you know, wonder what's going on. But it may be because we're not wholehearted. Wholeheartedly dedicated to him. We haven't made him the priority, the preeminence in our life. You know, any time that... I got ahead of myself. Let's look at your handout. You got your handout? You see a picture of a cross. A picture of a cross. You know, the next 5 to 6 weeks, we're going to start filling in some of these blanks. And I'm going to disappoint you right now. We're only going to fill in one blank tonight. So you have to come back next week and the week after and the week after and the week after before we get all these things filled in. I'm going to put the pieces of this puzzle together and help us to understand what it means to take up your cross as a disciple of Jesus. Now, here in the center of this cross, you see that circle? That empty circle right there in the center of the cross, that represents your life. That represents your life. I don't want you to write anything there yet. It pictures yourself denying yourself. It pictures you denying self. Remember that verse. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow me. It doesn't mean that you're losing your identity, who you are. It means you're losing your self-centeredness. According to the verses we read tonight, which were the words of Jesus, you cannot be his disciple unless you are willing to deny yourself. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. He said, you cannot be my disciple. We ought to be willing to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. And so let me say this. Christ is our number one priority. Christ is to be the number one priority in our life. I want you to look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1, 18. The Bible says here, the context is speaking about Christ. He says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This word preeminence means to be first in rank. First in rank. In other words, first in priority. Christ is to be first. He's to be first in your life. He's to be first in my life. If before we can even begin to look at that cross and what all those arrows mean and the symbols of it and all, we've got to get this right. The very heart of being a Christian, the very heart of being a disciple of Jesus is Christ. He has to be the first priority, first in rank in our lives. Anytime I've ever done premarital counseling with people, I've taught the importance of right priorities. I'll teach that Christ first, your spouse second, and God gives you children third, others last or fourth. If you keep the priorities right, everything will fall in place in your life. Christ has to be preeminent. He has to be the priority. He takes precedence over all. He takes precedence over our spouse, over our children, over other people in our life. And not just people, but things. He is the one that's to be preeminent, as he says here, that in all things he might be or might have the preeminence. You know, Matthew 5:33 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. We seek him first. We seek his kingdom first. We seek his righteousness first. And what? All these things that we worry about, all these things that we want to give priority over Christ, he says will be added to us. See, a lot of people in life, they mess it up. They make a priority of their career. They make a priority of making a living. They say, well, Pastor, I've got to make a living. I've got to work a job. And so they give that priority. And Christ gets in the back burner, in the background. Listen, the Bible teaches if we seek him first, all those things will be added. He'll take care of those things. You know, if we seek Christ first, guess what? He'll take care of your spouse. It's not saying we neglect these other responsibilities in our life or other relationships, but when we have Christ first, like I said this morning, if we love Christ with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, we're going to love our neighbors ourselves. That includes our spouse. That includes our children. But until we have him preeminent, until we love Christ first, until we make him the number one priority in our life, all these other areas of our life are not going to be in the right place. German writer Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. I'm not even sure I can pronounce German, so that may be wrong. But anyway, he understood the importance of priorities. And this is what he said. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter the least. Stephen Covey, the bestseller book he wrote, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he put it this way, I'm personally persuaded that the essence of the best thinking in the area of time management can be captured in a single phrase: organize and execute around priorities. You know, even the world can understand that if you want success in life, you need to have priorities. Organize your life around those priorities. Another writer, E.M. Gray, his book, The Common Denominator of Success, he spent his life searching for one denominator that all successful people share. And he found it wasn't hard work, it wasn't good luck, it wasn't knowing the right people. Though all those things were important, the one factor that seemed to transcend all the rest was putting first things first. That's what he found, putting first things first. So in other words, coming back to priorities. So I'm just using those quotes as an example. Even people in the world understand the importance of priorities. We as Christians, of all people, if we want to be successful in our spiritual lives, we need to have priorities. We need to have the right priorities. Christ must be the number one priority. We can't put anything before Christ. If we put our job before Christ, if we put our family before Christ, if we put other people, our hobby, whatever it is, if we put it before Christ, it's going to hinder our spiritual effectiveness. Now, going back to the circle. If we can pull up, go back. You went too fast. We're not there yet. Go back. There should be another. We want slide number 8. Slide number 8. Go back to that cross. Look on your paper, and this is hard to see on this screen, but that center circle represents your life, and Christ should be at the center of your life. So I want you to write Christ. I want you to write Christ in the circle. You can even put Colossians 1:18 under that if you want, where it says that he's to have the preeminence. So looking at this cross, the center being your life, representing your life, you deny yourself so that Christ can be preeminent, so that Christ can be first. And he's not just, and I want to just say this, Christ is not first on the list, on a list of things. He's the center of everything we do. Preeminent means he precedes all. He's the center of our lives. You know, we have one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship him. We glorify him. We should place him at the very center of our lives. That means everything else in our life. That means our family, our career, our hobby, whatever it is, all those things are secondary. I'm not saying they're not important. They are important, but they're secondary to Christ. The theme tonight is Christ must be the number one priority of your life. And that means, number one, we must love Christ more than our family. I want you to go back to Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. And look what he says here in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Pretty strong words, isn't it? Pretty strong words, pretty straightforward. You know, it's sad that in John 6:66, they could not take these hard sayings of Jesus. It said they went away. They walked with him no more. You know, here Jesus, he's using what we would call hyperbole. Hyperbole. He's using a figure of speech, a comparison. He's trying to give us a little shock treatment. He's trying to grab our attention. He's not literally saying that I have to hate my mother and father. I mean, that would go against the first commandment with promise that I'm to honor my father and my mother. You know, that he's not literally saying that I have to hate my parents. He's not saying that I have to hate my wife. I mean, because he tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He's not saying that literally that I'm to hate my children. I mean, parents should love their children. You know, if he was teaching this, then we would have to hate our own lives. And what would be the next step? If I hated my life, what would be the next step? Probably suicide. So it's not, I don't want you to understand him as literally hating our family or hating ourselves. But what he's using is hyperbole. What he's saying here is that I want you to love me more. I want you to love me supremely. I want you to love me preeminent. So that in comparison, your love for me, in comparison, it looks like hatred. You know, that's why I read the passage in Mark 10:37. I think the passage there, I'm sorry, Matthew 10:37. I think that kind of gives us a little bit of interpretation on what we read in Luke. Because he says here, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Compare scripture to scripture here. So what he means by hating our father and mother means that we're to love him more. We're to love him preeminent. We're to love him to the point that it looks like hatred in comparison, because Christ is so far up there preeminent. We're so much in love with him. You know, everybody else is second. You know, we got to be prepared to break even family ties to serve Christ. I know that sounds awful, but I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. You know, my wife and I, we've been there. We've experienced it. When we went to the mission field, we experienced how hard it was to say goodbye to mom and dad, brothers and sisters. We've experienced that feeling. I'm not saying this about my parents, but I know her parents at first, they had a hard time. They were like, you know, you don't love us. You don't love us. We loved them. We loved our parents. We still do. But it's just we loved the Lord more. And we had to do what the Lord told us to do. I remember when we had to leave back a couple of our kids and two oldest girls. And boy, I tell you what, when we was at the airport, that was pretty hard. When my kids are crying and say, we don't want to go back. My wife's crying, I don't want to leave my babies here. But you know what? We left and went back. Not because we hated Rachel and Becky. It's because we love the Lord, and that's what he called us to do. I'm not sharing those personal illustrations to say I'm perfect or I'm arrived, because I'm still struggling with this. I'm still struggling to keep Christ first and preeminent in my life. It's daily. Did he not say that? Take up your cross daily? I mean, it's a daily thing. I mean, I wake up some days and I'll put myself first. You know, I read a story. I like reading history and Christian history and going way back there and reading about the martyrs of the faith. And there was a story of a martyr who burned at the stake for Christ. And when his enemies failed to move him away from his steadfastness, they were trying to get him to deny Christ. And they couldn't get him to give up. They couldn't get him to stop proclaiming Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so they brought his family. As he was at the stake there, they was getting ready to light the fire. They bring his wife. They bring his children. He had 11 children. And his wife is sitting there crying, begging him, please, just give it up. we need you. His children sitting there crying. This was a trial that he had not expected. But this is what he said according to history. He said this to his family: God knows how dearly I love you all, and how gladly for your sakes I would do anything that I may do with a clear conscience to make you happy. But compared with Christ and his gospel, which I love with all my heart and soul, I must give you all up and treat you as if I had no love for you. And I must go and yield up my body to be burned for the truth of Christ. Therefore, do not weep and break my heart. Can you imagine such dedication? Such devotion to the Lord? I couldn't imagine. You know, you may not be tested with this supreme loyalty to Christ like this martyr, or maybe like Abraham. I mean, we have that in the Bible, Abraham. There in Genesis 22, where God told him to offer up his son Isaac, God was testing Abraham to see if he loved God supremely more than he loved his son, his only son. And you know the story. Abraham loved God more. He obeyed the Lord. You may not be tested like that, but I want to tell you this. You will be tested as to your love for the Lord. You will be tested in some way, whether you love your earthly family more than you love Christ. There will be some test. The Lord wants us to give Him preeminence over family ties, to love Him wholeheartedly. And I tell you, the Lord does it. That He doesn't mean in any way that we're not to love our family. And I tell you, people who love the Lord with all their hearts love their families more than those who don't love the Lord with all their hearts. Right. Let me go to number two. This means when we put Christ number one, it means that we love Christ more than our own life. Not just our family relations, but our own life. Because notice what Jesus said there. Yea, and His own life also. If you don't love the Lord more than you love your own life, then He said, you cannot be my disciple. This is probably one of the most difficult ones, because, you know, Paul said in Ephesians 5:29, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. It's natural for us to love ourselves. That's part of our nature. It's unnatural to love Christ more than you love family. It's unnatural to love Christ more than you love yourself. That's why we need Christ. We need Him to be at the center of our life, and it's Christ that puts this love in our hearts. You know, Paul said in Acts 20:24, I want you to look there. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 20:24. Look at Paul's testimony. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries we have in the New Testament. This is what he said toward the end of his life before he was arrested there in Jerusalem. He said, but none of these things move me. Now notice this next phrase. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I had received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So he said, I don't count my life dear to myself. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, I am denying myself, taking up my cross and following Jesus. Revelation 12, if you want to look there in Revelation 12:11. The martyrs there in tribulation period, we see in this prophecy in Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him, speaking of Satan, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They loved not their lives unto the death. What's that mean? Well, it means that they laid down their lives for Christ. You know, many of the early Christians, they would not be traitors to Christ. They died instead of being traitors to Christ. Many were cast into pots with red hot boiling oil. Can you imagine if you were given that choice to renounce Christ or be thrown into that pot of oil? That would be quite a test of faith, wouldn't it? Some were dragged behind wild horses. Many were torn to pieces by wild beasts. Multitudes were burned at the stake. All because Christ was number one priority in their life. He was preeminent. You know, thank God for our religious liberty in America. We hadn't had to be tested in that manner, but you know, we still go through tests. God tests us. How much do we love Him? You know, our life reveals how much we love Him. Our priorities reveal how much we love Jesus. You know, when He says, take up the cross, you know, He's talking about self-denial. He's talking about persecution. He's talking about reproach. He's talking about suffering. He's talking about identifying with Christ and shame, suffering, dying to self and our ambition. You know, when you say, Lord, I'm going to take up my cross, that means you died. You know, because anyone that was carrying their cross to a place of crucifixion, their life was over. Their future was over. Their dreams and ambitions was over. It was past. So that's what He's talking about. We die to self. We deny self. Let's go to the third one. It means loving Christ more than material things. You know, it's not wrong to have material things, but it is wrong to love them more than we love Jesus. Right. You know, Timothy, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, he writes about the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money's evil. The love of money. When we love money more than we love Christ, when we love possessions more than we love Christ, when we love the things of this world more than we love Christ. You know, Moses, according to Hebrews 11:26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. You know, the thing about Moses, he was next in line. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He, no doubt, in a place of wealth and power. I mean, Moses had everything that he could dream of, everything that anybody could want materially, but he gave it up. He gave it all up. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Paul, he said in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I counted them loss for Christ. You know, Christ wants us to know tonight what He wants of a disciple. What He wants us to be as a follower. We're talking about this year making disciples. We're talking about this year maturing these disciples. Growing them through those stages. But before we can even begin to consider what it takes to grow us through those stages, we have to come to this number one priority. This is at the heart of it. Surrender. I mean, this is the heart of it. And you know, it's not as hard as it may seem. It's really not. Yeah, the flesh cries out, no way. No way I'm going to surrender all. No way I'm going to forsake all. I'll give a little, but not all. I'll give half, but not whole. I tell you, though, we're missing out when we don't give all. We're missing out seeing God do some great and mighty things. Back to 2 Chronicles 16:9. He's searching through the earth. His eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong to those whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, I tell you, when my wife and I, when we surrendered our lives in 1988, I tell you, it was joy, pure joy after that. I mean, just, I can't explain it, but God's power came and just delivered us from all the things that we thought were important in our life. They were no longer important to us. He changed us. And it wasn't our power, it wasn't our strength, it was God. We just had to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Him, surrender to Him, and He did all the rest. You know, as we, this morning we were singing, I noticed in one of the choruses we sang this morning, talking about Christ being our all in all. This is what we're talking about tonight, Christ being our all in all. Is He really your all? Is He everything to you? Is He at the center of your life? You know, Christ does not want to be a king or lord over a half-hearted servant. He wants wholeheartedness. And He's teaching His disciples. You know, His disciples were not perfect. They had their problems. They had their struggles with the flesh. They had struggles with pride. We're going to have those struggles as we grow through these stages. But we need to know this. Christ wants first place. He wants to be preeminent. He needs to be the center of our lives. And you know, in order to make Him priority, we're going to talk next week about some steps to help keep Him as number one priority in our life. Because I'm telling you, even after we make that decision, sometimes we're going to struggle. Because it's daily. Daily taking up our cross. Let me ask you tonight, will you make Jesus your number one priority? Will you? Are you willing to put Him first? Love Him supremely? Love Him preeminently? More than anyone else, more than yourself, more than your family, more than your career, more than your hobby. There was a missionary that said these words. He gave his life as a martyr on the mission field. Jim Elliot. You probably know what I'm going to say next. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You can't keep your life. You can't keep your possessions. You can't even keep your family. You know, just as a case in point, I think of Brother Prater, you know, his son, 35 years old. The Lord took him. It was His time. Lord has His reasons. We don't understand why. But thankfully, he lived his life for the Lord. He was not a preacher. His son did not pastor a church, but he was very influential in his walk with God, his testimony in his community, his testimony in his business. He made an impact on a lot of people. And you know, as I was reading about the whole story and reading about the Prater family and the funeral and all this, and just to see their peace through it all, it only goes to show that they love Christ more. They're not bitter against Christ, saying, "Why did you take my son?" They love Christ. They realize that their child belongs to the Lord. They're not going to have their children forever. I'm not going to have my children forever. We don't know when our time is. And we need to make our life count for Christ. Right. You know, there are people around us lost, dying without Christ. And we're not reaching them. Why? It's because other things take priority. Other things in our life are more important to us. It's not until we come to this place of surrender and putting Christ number one, putting Him at the center of our life, that we're going to begin to see growth in our personal life and growth in our church. I want you to stand with me tonight. We're going to open up the invitation. We're going to have prayer. I want to challenge you to do some serious and earnest searching and praying tonight about taking up your cross. That's what this series is about. It's a challenge you to take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It is worth it. This life is temporary. Our life is as a vapor. It appears for a time and it vanishes away. Let's do what will count for eternity. Serve Christ. Put Him first. Father, we thank You tonight for loving us and giving us Your only Son. You gave Your all for us. Lord, help us tonight that we would also give our all to You. That we would just surrender all to You and say, Lord, You have my heart. You have my life. You have my family. Everything I give to You, I surrender to You, Lord. Lord, whatever You will, whatever You want me to do, I'll do. Lord, that's what I pray, Lord, tonight would happen in each of our hearts, Lord, that we would give Christ our first priority, that He would be preeminent in our hearts and lives. I know there are times we struggle as Christians. There are times that we allow other things to get into our life and our priorities get out of order. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, and help us that we can keep You first, that we can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lord, I want to see in my own heart, my own life, I want You to be first. I want You to be preeminent. I want You to have the first place. Lord, I don't want anything else to get in place of You. I don't want anything else to take my love away from You. Lord, I pray that You would just begin to work in our hearts and help us to get to the heart of the Christian life, that we would realize it's about denying ourselves. It's about taking up our cross daily and following You, putting You first. Lord, I pray You'd use this tonight to speak to each and every heart. Lord, do Your work in us. And Lord, also, we pray for those in our church family, that we pray for Kyle, that needs our love and our prayers and needs You to work in his heart. And I know there's many others, Lord, besides him, many that we've been praying for, many that have been even presented as unspokens, Lord, people that we're burdened about. Lord, help us that we can surrender our lives to You so that they can see Your power in us, see Your glory and Your majesty, and Lord, that You'd begin working in our midst, that we would see people saved and touch lives around us. Lord, I know it begins with simple taking that step of surrender. Lord, that's what we ask tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.